بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. الحمد لله. We have reached chapter 30 in Kitab al-Riqaq, the book of heart-softening narrations from Al-Jami' al-Sahih, better known as Sahih al-Bukhari. And chapter 30 is a very short chapter, and Imam al-Bukhari titles it Bab لينظر إلى من هو أسفل منه ولا ينظر إلى من هو فوقه. That a person should look to who is lower than him and not look to the one who is above him. Now, this can be read in an opposite way as well, that a person should also look to some people above them and not look to people below them. It all depends on perspective. But by the chapter title, he is talking about a person not looking at those who have more than them in the material things, the world. And he gives just one hadith for this chapter. He says, حدثنا إسماعيل قال حدثني مالك عن أبي الزناد عن الأعرج عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا نظر أحدكم إلى من فضل عليه في المال والخلق فلينظر إلى من هو أسفل منه. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if any one of you looks at a person who was made superior to him or preferred more than him in wealth and in appearance, then he should look at the one who is lower than him in wealth and appearance. So this could be, you could read this in the opposite way as well. I mean, that we have what is known as مفهوم المخالفة. So, and this has been مفهوم الكلام, that there are some people you should look who are better than you. You should look to those above you in deen and not look to those who are below you in deen. And when it comes to dunya, you should not look to those who have more than you. You should look to those who have less than you. Now, this can be summarized in a very simple example. And this is actually in a really well-known meme that's been out floating around on the internet for years. It's actually an image. It's a few different image panels, like a cartoon. And in the meme, there's a guy who is driving an old, kind of beat up Honda, old used Honda. And he sees a guy driving down the road in a nice brand new Porsche. And he's looking at this guy with the Porsche, thinking, man, if only I had that nice car. Meanwhile, behind him is a guy who's walking on the sidewalk, looking at the guy in the Honda, saying, man, if only I had a car. And then the guy who's walking, further behind him, there's an apartment complex, and on the balcony is a guy sitting in a wheelchair, looking out from the balcony at the guy who was walking and saying, if only I could walk. You see what's going on there? The guy who has the car is looking at the one who has a better car. The one who is walking is looking at the person who's driving. And the one who cannot walk is looking at the one who can walk. Each person is looking at what the other has of something of the dunya, wishing they had it. Now, it should be the opposite, right? The person who's driving the Porsche should take a look in the driver's mirror and see, subhanAllah, I have a Porsche, and this guy's in a Honda. Wow, alhamdulillah, I have a nice car. The guy who's in the Honda should look at the guy walking and say, alhamdulillah, I have a car to begin with. Even if it's old, And the guy walking, maybe he notices the one in the wheelchair, says, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me legs. So that's a basic rule, right? You look to everyone who has less than you in dunya so that you have shukr, right? And this is a huge problem in this society. And when we say this society, we can apply that to everywhere. You know, for all that it's worth, it's everywhere now, where we're constantly bombarded with imagery and commercials advertising the latest new thing, right? Oh, you have this, the, you know, the iPhone version, whatever, and this person has the newer version. Oh, I'm so deprived. Come on, how much did your iPhone cost? It still works just fine, right? A person's looking at the images given to them through commercials and advertisements thinking, this is the next thing I need to have. I don't have it, right? This is a very bad state to be in, because you're always looking at what others have in dunya, and that leads to feelings of inadequacy, feelings of tamar, of craving after more and more of the dunya, and it basically roots out, it pulls out the shukr that one should have for the things they have. Wallahi, we, you know, they say that you don't realize what you have until it's gone, right? The smallest of blessings that we have every single day, we don't realize we have them, either because we get used to them and we take them for granted, or we're looking at what others have that we deem more than us. Now, when it comes to deen, it should be the opposite, shouldn't it? It should be the exact opposite. We don't look to those who are seemingly worse off than us in deen. Right there's a presumption that we're better somehow. This person, maybe they're fasiq, maybe they're not praying, maybe they're this, maybe they're that. And if we look at them, what starts to happen is we feel that we are awesome, we're great, we're religious. Ana mutadayyin, ana multazim, right? All these terms that we have. I'm religious, I'm practicing, you know, I'm a serious Muslim. And then that gives rise to pride, right? When a person looks to those who are less than them in deen, it gives rise to pride. What you should do instead is look to those who are better than you in deen, right? Those who have more taqwa, those who have more commitment, those who have deeper knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, those who have better akhlaq. And if you look to those people above you, that's something you aspire to. It's not something that gives rise to jealousy. So we have to be mindful of this, because one of the dangerous things that happens in quote unquote religious spaces, what I mean by that are spaces where people are seeking to practice their deen, is that they often enter a bubble where they begin to think that they're better than other people, right? I invite you to consider that as a basic fundamental of Islam, there are some things that are outward and some things that are inward. That a person may be struggling with certain sins and temptations outwardly, but inwardly, there's a good chance that they don't feel high and mighty, they don't feel proud, they don't feel arrogant, that they actually feel bad about their state, they're just very weak. Meanwhile, a person can outwardly appear very religious, but inwardly they harbor feelings of ujub, of conceit, of arrogance, of thinking that this makes them better than other people. So that ujub, that conceit and that arrogance is just as much a sin as the outward sin of that person. Now, if you took, let's give an example. Let's say a person has a habit of consuming illicit substances, and the other person has arrogance. Which of these two sins is actually worse in the long term? Arrogance is worse. The Prophet ﷺ says that anyone who has a mustard seed of arrogance in his heart will not enter Jannah. Whereas the alcoholic, Allah yutub alayhi, right? It's an outward sin, and we don't encourage it. We should tell them to stop, of course. But not all sins are equal. So we have to be mindful of this. That's the chapter. The next chapter, we have one hadith as well. We'll cover this. And this is chapter 31. Bab man hamma bi hasanatin aw bi sayyi'ah. This is the chapter on the one who intends to do a good deed or intends to do a bad deed. So now he's talking about matters of ham. Now ham is different from niyya in the sense that ham is the intention to do something, but it hasn't been so firm that they're getting ready to do it, right? So this is one hadith in the chapter. He says, حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو مَعْمَرْ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الْوَارِثِ حَدَّثَنَا جَعَدْ بْنُ دِينَارْ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو رَجَاءَ الْعُطَارِدِ عَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي مَا يَرْوِي عَنْ رَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ قال الله إن الله كتب الحسنات والسيئات ثم بين ذلك فمن هم بحسنة فلم يعملها كتبها الله له عنده حسنة كاملة فإن هو هم بها فعملها كتبها الله له عنده عشر حسنات إلى 700 ضعف إلى أضعاف كثيرة ومن هم بسيئة فلم يعملها كتبها الله له عنده حسنة كاملة فإن هو هم بها فعملها كتبها الله له سيئة واحدة. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه relates this, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فيما يروي عن ربه. So this is a hadith Qudsi. He's relating that Allah جل وعلا, the exalted and sublime, said, Allah ordered that the good and the bad deeds be written. And he then showed the angels how to write. If someone intends to do a good deed and he does not do it, then Allah will write for him a full good deed in his account. And if he intends to do a good deed and actually did it, Allah will then write for him in his account its reward equal from 10 to 700 times to many more times. And if someone intended to do a bad deed and he does not do it, then Allah will write a full good deed on his account with him. And if he intended to do it and actually did it, then Allah will write one bad deed in his account. So the word you use here is ham. As we said, ham is a little different from niyya. They're very similar, but the difference would be that ham is, it's a bit less than niyya in this case, where the person intends to do it, they think to do it, they're going to do it, but they haven't resolved in the moment to do it. Like it occurs to them, I should do this, but they haven't committed to it just yet. So you have the passing thought, which comes and goes, then you have the ham, which is, I'm going to do it. Then the niyya is the resolve to carry it out. So here he says, Allah wrote, meaning he decreed and he legislated. And then he clarified, meaning he clarified the status of those deeds in the Quran and upon the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sunnah. So Allah Ta'ala writes a good deed for a person who intends to do a good deed but doesn't do it. So what that means is just intending to do good and wanting to do good is considered a good deed, because it's an action of the heart. Like the action may be external, it's something you do with your body, right? Like salat. You intend to do it. That intention itself is a good deed, even if you didn't carry it out. Now, think about this. If it's an action of the heart to intend to do a good deed for which you get a reward, even if you didn't do it, wouldn't that also imply that intending to do a sin is a bad deed for which you would get a sin on your account? That's the implication, and that's accepted. We would agree that is the case. However, because you don't do it, you get a good deed written on your account for not doing it, so it wipes away the effect of thinking about it and intending to do it. Whereas thinking to do a good deed, intending it, and not doing it, you have a good deed written, right? There's nothing expiated or wiped away because you intended good, but you just couldn't do it. So if a person wanted to do good and he did it, The reward is, of course, is larger if he was able to carry it out. If he intended to do a good deed, but he was unable to do it. So let's say he intended to pray Salat al-Duha, right? He makes this intention, I want to pray Salat al-Duha. And then as the time of Duha comes, let's say he is prevented from something external. That person's reward will be greater because he was only prevented from something external. Maybe someone called him, maybe something came up at work, he couldn't do it, he had to run out the door. It was something external that prevented him. He didn't just intend it and then distract himself, right? Meanwhile, if a person wanted to do bad, but he didn't, the reward will be greater if what prevented him was internal. He started thinking about the sin thing, I shouldn't do that. And then he stops. The reward will be less if he intended to do a sin and didn't do it because of something external, because the motivating factor was not within him, it was outside of him. So there's different ways you could look at this. If you intend to do good and you just get distracted, you get a reward, but it's going to be less than intending to do good, not doing it because of an external factor that prevented you, something came up. If you intend to do a sin and you don't do it because of an external factor that prevented you, that's less reward than intending to do a sin and stopping, not doing it because of an internal factor. So there's a kind of a give and take, a difference between these two. So I leave you with the commentary of one of the great imams, and we mentioned him before, Imam Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi. Imam Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi is the author of the earliest commentary on a book of hadith. And this is coming before Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar and others. This is Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi, who wrote Ma'alim al-Sunan, which is a commentary on the Sunan of Abu Dawud. He talks about this hadith and he says, Mahallu kitabat al-hasanati ala al-tarki an yakuna al-tariku qad qadara ala al-fi'li thumma tarakahu liyanna al-insana la yusamma tarikan illa ma'a al-qudra. He says, the way in which, or the situation in which a good deed is written for a person who doesn't do something is when the person is capable of doing that thing, and then he leaves it. Because a person is not called tadik, you know, who leaves something off, unless they were capable. وَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِ مَنْ حَالَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ حِرْصِهِ عَلَى الْفِعْلِ مَانِعٌ. Included in this type of, in this category, is the one between him and his desire for an action, something came to prevent him. كَأَنْ يَمْشِي إِلَى امْرَأَةٍ لِيَزْنِي بِهَا مَثَلًا فَيَجِدُ الْبَابُ مُغْلَقًا. For example, a person who wishes to fornicate with some woman, but then he finds the door is closed or locked. وَيَتَعَصَّر فَتْحُهُ. And he can't open it. It's very difficult to open. وَمِثْلُهُ مَنْ تَمَكَّنَ مِنَ الزِّنَا مَثَلًا فَلَمْ يَنْتَشِرْ أَوْ طَرَقَهُ مَا يَخَافُ مِنْ أَذَاهُ عَاجِدًا. Or a person who has the desire to do a sin like fornication, but finds that they, you know, they don't have the means physically in the moment. So this actually is a very, this hadith, out of all of the hadith in this chapter, or in this book, Kitab al-Riqaq, it has the most commentary. It goes on for dozens of pages, because you're talking about the heart, you're talking about niyyah, you're talking about ham, you're talking about good and bad and intending and not able, being able to do it, external, internal. The takeaway for all of us is that Allah Ta'ala is Kareem, in that He rewards us for our intentions even if we're unable to carry out the act. Right? There is the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's related by At-Tabarani bi sanadin da'if. It's a weak hadith. We don't actually say it's from the words of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. يعني روي أنه قال نية المؤمن خير من عمله. It is related that he said that the intention of the believer is better than his actions. Now that hadith is not actually a hadith that is soundly attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, it is used by the ulama because it corresponds and agrees with the meaning of the hadith from Sayyidina Umar, innamal a'malu binniyat. Actions are governed by intentions. So the niyyah of the believer is actually better than their actions, because the actions may or may not happen. Maybe something comes between you and the action, external or internal. Maybe it gets corrupted, but the intention is always pure. If it's a pure intention, it's going to be pure. Nothing's going to corrupt it. It could be corrupted as you're carrying out the act. So Allah is Kareem in that He rewards us even for intending good that we're unable to carry out, or even if we forget about it or get distracted. And sins that we may intend but don't carry out, we don't get a sin written on our account. And whatever sinful effect it may have, because it is a sin of the heart, that the effect of that sin is actually wiped away by not doing it. So Allah is Kareem. Imagine if you only get a reward for the things you literally do, and for every time you intend something bad where it crosses your mind to do it, you get a sin. If that was the reality, we would all be doomed, because we have all sorts of passing thoughts that we latch onto that become desires. But Allah pardons and forgives these things. And we may intend to do lots of good things, but things come between us and those good things. But we still get the rewards for them. Wallahu Kareem. Alhamdulillah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.